saving money on remodeling your home at Menards. Start your tile project off right with DentShield Tile Backer from Georgia Pacific. It's proven to protect against moisture in your walls and subfloors with a built-in water barrier, making it perfect to use in damp areas like kitchens and bathrooms. Plus, its easy-to-cut design makes installation a breeze. Save big on Georgia Pacific DentShield Tile Backer panels. On sale through March 2nd. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
It'll be my day to be the one true host soon. Maybe. Maybe someday.
Someday
the people will learn the truth.
What's the truth?
That I'm the one true host, you know?
Is that... That's the truth.
That's the truth, man.
I was like, what true? It's just like Jay has quietly been like, eventually people will find out about Ben.
They're going to figure it out. They're going to be like,
they're going to know
we were wrong this whole time. Yeah.
You know, sometimes
the turn will tide.
I don't know why this came to brain, but tell me how you feel about this. When you're in your therapy sessions, do you ever feel like you don't have enough time to give the person all of the information that they need to know about you, like as a person?
No.
So, okay. Well, same. Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Why do you feel like you're like, and anyway, that's me and time's up. All right, see ya.
No, I mean, most of the time I'm like, man, maybe what I really need to do is find a therapist who is willing to go through and listen to the entire catalog of Popcorn Culture. Take all of like the weird existential wonders and anxieties and all the concerns and everything. And, and they can be like, okay, Ben, I noticed that like every year in January, you come back to this problem. Every year, you know, like these are common concerns you have. These all tie back.
You need to train like an AI bot to do this for you.
Oh my gosh.
Be like, can you listen to all of Popcorn Culture and give me like a breakdown on like what topics I return to annually or the most or something.
Right. No, that would be incredibly interesting. Like I know AI can be like a little bit spoopy in some scenarios, but once upon a time I listened to back-to-back podcasts, I think on Trevor Noah's podcast, like this was like 2 years ago or something, but I think that he had one segment with somebody who was very pro AI and somebody who was very anti AI. And obviously there's going to be arguments on both sides of those conversations. And I don't have a position on either, but the guy who was for AI did mention how one of the cool prospects is that like you could conceivably take like a machine and allow that machine to essentially be a physician that you could then send to like hard to reach locations.
Right.
So like, you know, like a small Aboriginal village somewhere, you could effectively send like an AI machine that could be a doctor for those people and even like teach it their language.
Right.
You know, so there's no language barrier, like all the communication's there and it's just packed with like the whole wealth of Western medicine.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
But it occurs to me that like it would be very interesting if like we could take the podcast as data at some point in time in the future, push it into the machine and have it regurgitate like that type of information back at you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh,
it doesn't even feel outside of the realm of possibility for like what it's capable of today. I don't think
you remember the chatbot once upon a time where you could like basically feed the podcast like to the chatbot and then you could like ask us questions and it would respond as if it was like us.
I do remember that.
And
yeah.
It was like, wow, that's very, it felt like it was novel because it was more funny than anything else.
Like it wasn't that accurate.
Like it wasn't that good. So it was kind of like, oh my gosh, like it sort of gets it, but not totally.
Right.
But like if that did, you know, I mean, that was when we did that, it must've been 3-4 years ago now at this point, it felt, you know, like a lot of progress could happen since then.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be interesting. I wonder, I don't think it probably wouldn't take too much effort to figure out like what kind of AI service could listen to your catalog for you and like answer questions or give you feedback about yourself or something.
Right. Like it's funny because mom has described it to me this way before, cause she likes to listen to the pop and she's like, it's like getting to like read y'all's diary.
Yeah.
And, I'm always like, you know, it's really funny because what you see is kind of what you get a little bit. Like,
yeah,
we're probably, if you were to come and sit down with us at dinner, I don't think that we would be like this forwardly conversational just for like one straight hour.
Probably not.
Like there is the intent to discuss,
yeah,
and there are no other distractions,
right,
while we're doing,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we're not like eating or dealing with kids or having other people interrupt us or anything.
Right, right. But yeah, otherwise, it's like, you know, I'd be like, I would feel good about the fact that you could listen to it and be like, what if you were to take takeaways based on the personality that you meet in popcorn culture? Like, that is me.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think we're pretty open. I don't think I'm like, you know, shielding myself or anything.
I probably say more swears off.
Oh, off screen in your regular life.
that would
be the first thing to go back. What can you tell me about Ben? Well, he never swears.
Not once. That's the AI bot is like, well, no, once.
Do you think you like swear a lot in your regular life?
Not a lot. I think that probably I would say I used to probably more. And I would say that doing all this stuff has actually been like very good parent prep.
Because
I'm like really big on like, you know, gosh darns, good golly gosh.
Yeah.
I don't have like a lot of like exclamatories in that particular capacity.
Right.
But sometimes I'll get into like a rhythm where it'll happen more. And I don't know. Yeah. But I like it because it's funny to like hear Addison using my like softened edges versions.
That's so funny. Yeah. Yeah. I would say that like I think last night I was watching some basketball and I had like, you know, the other team was doing well all of a sudden. And I had a few like slip outs there, not in front of the kids or anything.
Right.
Just sitting on the couch by myself.
Yeah.
Just like, you gotta make that shot. You know, whatever.
I know. I mean, that's like primarily where I think I learned some of my first swears in life. Was watching dad watch the Virginia Tech Hokies.
Well, sure.
To Syracuse.
Oh,
circa 1998.
Very frustrating. Very frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say in my regular, it's pretty uncommon anymore that I drop too many swears.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think. I mean, maybe around the office a little bit.
There are so many different occasions where I'm like, y'all, we just need a mic up and like our like, you know, lunchtime discussions where we all just go like on our little tirades or rants or, you know, tell people what we did last night or our plans for the weekend or something we're frustrated with or whatever. I'm always like, this could be like, there's some gold in there.
Oh,
there's,
yeah.
There's some really good conversation that happens. It is hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, we have now spent this crew that we like the five of us have been on tour twice. We're getting ready to go on tour again. We've spent a lot of time.
A lot of time together. Yeah. I know. I was at the gym this morning and Gabriel was asking me, he was like, how are you guys doing this morning? Are you flying? Are you driving? And I was like, we are driving. So we got a couple of long days, I think, between like Atlanta and Nashville, between like Charlotte and Orlando. It's like, those are pretty long drives.
Yeah.
And he's like, you guys are just all going to be in the car together? And I was like, yep. And he's like, oh boy. But I was like, honestly, I'm not even that. Like, we've done it before. Everyone gets along really well. It hasn't been a problem. So
no, I'm not concerned in the slightest. It's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah. So anyway, this was more of an intro than I expected because today we kind of have like a segment type thing we're doing.
We do. We're going to be doing some Q&A sort of where people have submitted questions. Little kernels have sent in some questions, and we're gonna try and tackle them.
We're gonna do our best. Yeah. So maybe some advice going out to people.
Oh boy.
I don't know how good we are at advice.
Well, if you want tons of advice from us, especially about how to ask out your crush in high school, you can go back on our gaming channel, Super Hurling Gaming, and find the playlist for Mario Kart Roulette.
Yes.
And all that is us just giving out probably bad advice, but
dude, it is so funny. Like, I mean, I know I harp on it probably more than any other person has any business to do, but there's that like Dunning-Kruger effect, which is like the, you know, it's if you have an axis that is like confidence versus experience.
Yeah.
And Dunning-Kruger basically is like very little experience, but very high confidence.
Yeah.
This is probably like when you've started a new hobby and you've been into it for like 3 months.
Right.
And it's like you have gone from knowing essentially nothing about it to knowing like a lot more than the average person knows about it.
Right.
And that like automatically rockets your confidence like way up. But then if you were to go to like a convention where people are doing this and they've been like fans of it for like a long time, you were like, Oh, wow. Wow. Okay. I have some catching up to do.
I don't know what's going on. I don't want to talk about too much about like Disney pins or anything, because I know we've been talking about that a lot.
We sure have.
But like I was, when we were at Epcot, they were like, everyone has these like cool binders and stuff. And we're like, where do you get these? And they're like, oh, you got to go to this place. It's called Pin HQ. And it's like, it's here in Orlando. And I was like, all right, cool. And I looked them up, and it's like, they're like a pretty, you know, cool pin store
for sure
or whatever. And like on their own Instagram, they like host different like trading events there. And I was just like, oh, that'd be like so fun to go to. But then I'm like looking at all the people set up in their parking lot with their binders and binders of stuff. And I'm like, I wouldn't have anything to trade. Like, what would I even do here? You know, like all the trading I do is just with like the little dinky pins you get off the board. I wouldn't have any good pins to trade these people.
Right,
I don't have like
a
portfolio. I've got like a bulletin board at home of just the Pluto pins that I have, but I'm not trading them.
That's exactly, you know? All the good ones you have are the ones that you traded for.
Yeah, exactly. Like all the good ones I have, I'm keeping. So like, what would I even give? You know, I'm like, what would I have to bring to the table? Would it be any fun at all to go? Cause what would I do? You know? Then I felt like I was like, you know, sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'm like really into this, and I'm like, I'm not even close to being into it, you know, whatever, you know.
But when we go to Pin HQ, we'll be like a little bit more into it.
Oh, we're going. I'm excited.
Cool. It's gonna be a lot of fun. But yeah, I think the pins is a prime example too, because I think even like we said at the parks, like, you know, I think our dad, like he knew, I think, about like the fact that like pin trading existed, which immediately enters you into sort of like this, like, sort of, it's not even that secret. I mean, it's everywhere, but like, it feels like you're in on something that like doesn't immediately meet the eye.
Yeah.
In the same way that like there's huge signs for the big, you know,
they're not advertising pin trading with other guests.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's like to know that you're in on that, but then there is that layer where you meet like the serious hobbyist, and it's like, oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I can't just take the bag of like bulk pins that I ordered and expect to be able to like really make
wheel and deal with any of these people.
Right.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. So a lot to kind of keep in the back of your mind. So that is when, though, like as your experience grows, you start to respect the wealth of knowledge involved in your particular field to the point where you're like, well, there's no way I could know all of it.
Right.
And then that is usually when your confidence level comes down. And so the opposite of Dunning-Kruger syndrome is going to be imposter syndrome, which basically is a lot of experience, but kind of lower overall confidence.
Right.
And I would say that like, if it's helpful for anybody out there in the world who feels like they're just making it up as they go, almost every professional I know says that. Like,
right.
You know, I don't know anybody who feels like they're just in complete and total control over everything, and they feel like they've got it all like on lock.
Oh, the people I know who feel like that are people I cannot trust.
Yeah. It's like, you don't know enough
like,
yet.
I'm like, Right. That's
right.
A big old red flag.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's answer some questions then. What do we got?
Yes, indeed. Okay. So let's see here. I'm just going to go with this very first question because it's the exact top of the list from Katrina A, who asks, have you listened to a whole new sound album from Disney? It's Disney songs reimagined as punk songs. If you haven't listened to it, I highly recommend it.
Oh, I have listened to it.
I have too.
Yeah.
I have too. I think it's really, really good, but with the small caveat that I think some of them translated a lot better, or else the artist put like a lot more into punkifying the song.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple of them that I think just sound, it's like one of the Phil Collins songs from Tarzan, where it's like, it kind of just sounds like somebody is singing that song.
They just did like a light cover of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah they didn't like redo the song in like a punk style. It's just like we pretty much kind of remade it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. What is the famous Little Mermaid song? Part of Your World.
Part of Your World.
That one is nuts.
That one's really good.
Yeah.
I like that one. I like that. There's a Surface Pressure one, right?
Yep. There's a Surface Pressure from Encanto.
Yep. I liked that one. That's the one I remember.
Yes. Yeah.
Of course, that's another one. It's like, I like the original one also. So good.
Right.
So much.
There's a really good one from the Goofy movie, Eye to Eye.
Oh, yeah. Yes, there is Eye to Eye. What a great pull for them to put on the album.
I know. It worked out. It worked out really well.
Dude, the Goofy movie is having such like a renaissance right now.
It really is.
Like, it was all over Disney World when we were just there.
I mean, both patrons of the park and like merch and stuff.
Yes, there was like merch for it. There were like, it was Festival of the Arts at Epcot, and there was like just tons of just goofy movie specific art.
Yep.
Yeah. I was like, okay, awesome. You know,
I know. And that's like one of those obscure ones that I felt like we grew up with that doesn't seem nearly as like widespread.
Yeah.
Like there was a night where I was hanging out with my wife, Alice, her sister, Sammy, and my brother-in-law, Mike. And they were telling me that they had like not seen the Goofy movie. So I was like, what? No, we gotta watch it.
Impossible.
And like, I felt like it was like one of those like where you have like a YouTube video or something you really want to show somebody. And so you're like holding your phone out and they're watching it and you're half watching them and half watching the video. And you're like, oh, this is my favorite part.
Right. Ready? Look at this big foot.
Oh, it's so good. Ah. Oh, yeah. Could you stand back a bit, Mr. Foot?
You're out of focus.
We quit that all the time.
We do.
The perfect cast.
The perfect cast.
Oh, man. That being said, I hate the possum scene in the Goofy movie. It's so creepy.
It's weird.
Yeah. But anyway, not the point. But yeah, that was like a night where I feel like I was like, no, you guys got to watch it. You need to be in on...
You need to know about the Goofy movie.
Right. It's got great music.
It does have great music.
Yeah.
I mean, all the Powerline stuff at the beginning, or like the Max's cover of the Powerline song at the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And then the like the school's out for summer song. I can't think of what it's like, how it goes.
Oh, yeah. Gonna take any more. Yeah.
And I'm gonna sit on my bus.
Yes.
That one's funny because it's like this like large bus driver that I can't tell if it almost even seems like the sounds are like squeezed together a little bit because they're on the bus.
Yeah.
And it says, I'm going to sit on my bus. But
does it say bus and not butt?
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. I'm going to sit on my bus.
In my brain, he says butt.
Okay. Because it's like he's on a bus.
Right. That's what you're going to do all summer.
It's just
I'm going to sit on my bus.
I'm going to sit on my bus. Wait for school to start again.
Yeah, like I guess I don't know anything else to do.
That's the classic.
Wake up, come out here and sit.
Right. The classic belief that like your teachers just like live at the school and it's like they can't possibly have
that. Yeah.
Well,
I forgot about that song. Man, I should make sure. Remember, go home and show the like guys we're watching the Goofy movie.
I know it's time.
We're having movie night.
I'll make
popcorn.
Yes,
it'll be great.
I'm gonna do the same thing. Actually, yep. I have showed it to Addie before and I think she got bored.
Oh,
which I was like
ridiculous.
Bad takes.
It's called taste, Addison.
Right. Sometimes you make me say, or sometimes you make me feel, shall
bananas.
We say, bananas.
It makes me so uncomfortable when they don't have their shoes on.
I know. Yes. Like,
he shouldn't be able to see Goofy and Mickey and Minnie and all their feet.
Their feet,
all their ungloved appendages.
Right. It's like, this, I feel like I'm seeing something. It's something
like, it feels
wrong.
Like you're naked. Yeah, I don't like it. Yeah.
No, I agree. Let's see here. Here is a question from Amy who says, what are some of the OG YouTubers that you took inspiration from?
Oh my gosh. All right. Let me tell you right out of the gate. One of the channels that I first watched in college that kind of like was my gateway drug into the world of YouTube was a guy named James Rolfe, who you probably know better as the Angry Video Game Nerd.
Nice.
Yeah, he was great. That also led me to the Nostalgia Critic, both of them, what they do, it's the same shtick, just one does movies and one does video games, and they just review old movies, old video games, and just tear them apart in just the most comical way possible.
Yes.
Loved both those guys. And then on YouTube specifically, because actually I was watching those guys on like a website like Screw Attack. Well, AVGM was on Screw Attack. But like on YouTube, then some of the first people I watched were... Sexy Phil.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Philip
DeFranco.
Yeah, yeah. Sexy Phil. He's not sexy. Sexy Phil. He's SSXC. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Let me try that again. Welcome to the Philip DeFranco show. Show that is the best show. It's not really a show, but it is something. Oh man, I forgot the jingle.
No way.
Oh, bummer. Anyway, Philip DeFranco, I'm sure you know now because he's still a big deal.
We got to do an Audible book club with him once upon a time, which was really cool.
It was
like even like the set that we would have created for like probably the first really really intentional set that we made for Super Carlin Brothers had like the couch in the back and like the blue wall.
Yeah,
and I mean it would probably date back to like 30 sets ago for Phil, but
yeah,
his had something like that vibe.
Yes, it did. It had like a blue wall and a couch kind of situation going.
Yes, and to the point where like when we did it, I was even like, people are gonna be like, wow, you're just copying Philip DeFranco.
I know.
It's never felt that way ever since, but like when you take inspiration for something, you do feel like
you feel like everyone knows.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so there's that. So Philip DeFranco, and then the other two right at the beginning were Community Channel, AKA Natalie Tran, who doesn't really make YouTube videos as much anymore, but she was like a really big deal once upon a time. And I mean, she's still a big deal as a person. She's one of the hosts for the Australian Bake Off.
Oh, no way. Yes. That's so fun.
I know. Yeah. So she's like one of the comedians that like walks around and makes, you know, small talk with the contestants for the show.
I love
and
that.
I'm like, that's the sole reason I want to watch Australian Bake Off.
Just to watch Natalie Tran.
Because yeah. I'm still a huge fan. Like if I met her, so I would probably cry if I met her in person.
That tracks. Yeah. I mean, because your life was changed.
It's like one of those people who's like, you changed my life in a way that you do not understand. I mean, maybe you do understand, but like you've never met me, but like your impact on my life was tremendous.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yep.
And then Shane Dawson at the very, very beginning, I watched him too, like in his very early days.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. I remember when Shane Dawson was around. Mine was so much like, and then we haven't mentioned the Vlogbrothers yet.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You can't really talk about Super Carlin Brothers without mentioning John and Hank Green.
There was John and Hank Green. Yeah. They were a big deal. Wheezy Waiter, Craig Benzine.
Yep.
He's been on the channel before. And then, yeah, I would say like once we started Super Carlin Brothers, the influences were probably much heavier in the realm of the Vlogbrothers, Wheezy Waiter, and like Zay Frank.
Yep.
Yeah, I would say those were like three really big ones.
Yes,
yeah.
Like the big jumping off points. And then I'm like the complete flip end of the spectrum. Like, I mean, I've always talked about this like a fair bit. Like I started to consume a lot of those guys that you just mentioned sort of like once we started going, because I think whenever I get really into a hobby, like I usually find something that I love, and then like that becomes like the marker against which I'm like always trying to like emulate, you know? So it's like, how can I sort of like start to work towards being like them and then kind of finding my own path somewhere along the way? And I think where I struggled so much at the beginning was that like, that thing lobbed out in the distance that I was trying to get to didn't exist. So like I didn't really have like a clear person I was trying to like aspire to be or anything like that. But I really liked Devin Supertramp.
I remember that. I was wondering if you were gonna bring him up. Yeah.
And he made these like really like cinematic videos. He may still do them. I haven't watched for like a little while, but super cinematic videos, usually always set to like really fun music. And he would go out and do these like just absolutely crazy like outdoor adventures, or you know, something that was just like both visually very fun, and it almost just felt like you were vicariously like enjoying the experience by like watching it,
right?
And I remember like once we had started collecting just enough like subscribers, I found a water blob company online that sort of had this like smaller kind of like, it looked like a very like handmade website, like kind of before people were really using like any of like the website builders that you might use today.
Yeah.
And I reached out to them and I was like, I would love to partner with you guys to make like a water blob video. And like, we would take it to this like amazing waterfall in North Carolina and like have all of our friends out there, and we could like get a drone and like have like 20 GoPros set up. And like, I had this whole plan for like how we were going to go from like this like talking to the camera style video to like this like very over the top
like adventure sport.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
right.
Kind of thing. And I got a lot further in the process than like when I like look back on it, than I feel like I ever had any business to.
Right.
Like, I mean, they talked to me. Like,
right.
we like had calls, and like I had like a business proposal and like a spreadsheet for, you know, how we would be using like the funding should they provide it, and
right,
all this type of stuff. And we had the location picked out, and I was gonna like inflate the water blob with like a leaf blower on site,
right,
so like we could hike all the materials in. And
I know, like it I remember I was like trying to work on this project, and then like now I'm thinking about it and I'm like, man, we would have just like I'm trying to think, like, would it have even worked? Like, if we, like, went off that waterfall and, like, plopped onto it, like, could we have launched ourselves?
I have no idea.
You're right.
I have no idea. Or if you, like, you could just jump off of, like, a different rock onto the water blob and, like, shoot somebody in the air. But I think the bigger concern that slowly grew in my mind, and when I look back on it, because this is the same waterfall that I did, like, the I probably died backflip off of.
Right. Well, not exactly the same. Same location.
No, I was planning to do it off of at Twisted Falls, not Elk River Falls.
No, I know.
Oh.
Yeah, but like you were like the part where you slide and drop.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. So same general, like, you know,
water. Yeah, same water area. Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
But my bigger concern eventually ended up being like, what if you launch somebody because you can't really control the trajectory of somebody who's blobbed?
Yeah.
You know, what if they hit a rock?
Exactly. You know, I know, that's what I'm wondering. Yeah.
Shoot them 20 feet in the air and they land on a rock. It's like, that's really bad.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And I'm like, what if you are going to launch them as high as you came up from? Like, I think like in my memory, it's like, is it a bit of an overhang? Could they have like hit underneath or I don't know.
When I look back on it, there were tons of concerns. It probably wouldn't have worked and it would have been ridiculous. But like the short form version in my head, I was like, oh, it's going to be wonderful.
It's going to be great.
People are going to love it.
People are going to love it. We're going to have awesome jumps and we're going to launch people and it'll go viral and that'll be that.
Yes. And I think that was really exciting for me because like, especially in the early days of YouTube for me, I didn't have, like, I do think that like if I wanted to give myself credit or could try to give myself credit for something, I do think I have things that, like I started to bring to the enterprise as time went on. But it was less apparent in the very beginning to me. And so like, you know, I was spending a lot of time doing this, but like you knew how to like make the thumbnails and you made like our channel art and you were doing like a lot of like the optimization-y type things and search engine optimization and like pulling all the levers that like, you know how to use like Final Cut, whereas I was just using like iMovie, which is like a much more like base version of video editing software. And so I think that was like the moment where I was like, oh my God, I am doing something. I am dealing with people. I am being creative. I have like a vision, you know, like this is like, I felt like that was very exciting to me as like a prospect. And then it was kind of like sad when I couldn't really push it.
Anyway. Well, we still went to the waterfall. We had a good weekend.
We did. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, except for that time I almost died.
Well, except for that. Yeah.
But that's a story we've already told before. So yeah. Anyway, okay, next question. Let's see here. Okay, Jay, I got another question here. Before Super Carlin Brothers, did you ever feel undervalued at the jobs you had? How did you handle that? Where I'm working now, I have a lot of specialized knowledge that people take advantage of, but I feel like I'm not rewarded other than getting a good job now and then.
I mean, I would say yes. To a degree for sure. Like, I mean, probably just more like at the, you know, at the concert venue.
Right.
As it were. Like, I think, there was like, when I got hired, I like, you know, I felt like, oh, I'm so unqualified for this. I don't even know how I got this job.
Right.
You know,
yes.
You know, great. And I, you know, the first, you know, year or so was just like, you know, drinking from a fire hose in terms of like learning everything that we had to do. And like, you know, the person who like helped hire me, who actually like made the contact with you, that was like, oh, we're looking for someone.
Yes.
Yeah. Like it, like, you know, unbeknownst to her, they wanted to hire someone for my position so that they could fire her, you know, like, which, you know, was unfortunate, but good that also like, you know, it was like, that was the only person who was like teaching me how to do stuff. And then it was like, it didn't seem like, as time went on, it was like, oh, you taught me a bunch of stuff wrong. But that was like how it's like, you know, you believe the first lie kind of situation. You're like, well, that's just how I was told to do stuff, you know? But then there was like a 6-month period where like they, or maybe not 6 months, but there was like a giant period where like it took them all to hire a new person there. So then I was just really flying by the seat of my pants.
Right.
And then a super qualified person came in and was my boss for a while. And then I was like, okay, now I'm learning a whole different set of skills and that's good.
Right.
But then there was probably like a point around like 3 or 4 years where like, I've been in the position for a while. I know all the contacts at all the radio stations and the TV stations and the, you know, the newspaper. And like, I've done this a bunch and stuff. I know how, like, I know all of the very specific buttons to push at the stuff in the building.
Right.
Or whatever. And like, so then the new boss left, he got promoted somewhere else. And it like, it felt like, okay, cool, Jonathan, you've been here for like 3.5 years or so. Clearly, you're the person who will be promoted into this other spot.
Right.
You know, of course, you'll have to like interview as like a formality because, you know, we got to do all that stuff and, you know, it's, you know, corporate culture and all that.
Right.
And like, that's how it had been at every other position in the building. Like, most of the departments were like, you know, 2 to 3 people or right. something.
Yep.
And it was like, as the top person left, they went to another building. The person below them pretty much just always got the job. And then I didn't like, and I applied for it and I was like, obviously this is just going to work out, but it didn't.
Yeah, Jay. And you've now proven that your marketing is just so not your thing.
And not my thing, man. It's not my thing. So I remember at that point feeling like, yeah, that's a real swift kick in the pants there. Like, I'm already here and I've already been doing this. Like, what's the big deal? Like, you know.
Right. Was there ever a point where you had somebody else like hired over you and then you had to like show them around? Like, would that have happened? Like, because I mean, if they hired somebody new, it would have inevitably been their first day
yeah.
at the building. You know, it's like, you're like, yeah, let me show you where the thing is.
Well, yeah. I mean, that was it. Like, they, you know, if I was like the, you know, we had like the director of marketing and then like, you know, the marketing manager who was me. And so like, you know, I was applying for the director spot and I didn't get it. And then the other person that you know, came in, like it was their first day.
Right.
I was like, well, I guess I'll just show you around. And yeah. like, they knew I was the other person, you know?
Oh my gosh.
It was like, it felt so, especially like the first like couple months too, it was like, well, you got to meet everybody. So like, let's go to the radio station and let's go to the TV station. And like, you know, we go there and everyone's like, oh, it's a, you know, everyone knows me. Not only do they know me from having worked with me for, you know, 3 years, but they knew like all the media people in Roanoke just knew who I was because our dad was a media person in Roanoke too.
Yeah.
Which then it's like, oh yeah, how's your dad? And just that. And I think that felt very bad for our new person too.
Sure.
Just sort of this like, well, you know, hey, I'm his boss, you know, like, hey, I'm his boss, right? Like,
right, you know, right.
Which then I think
ask me about my dad, why don't you?
Yeah, I know, come on. Which then I think made that created like a weird dynamic for a while as well, where it was sort of like this, like, yep, see, it probably should have just been me, huh?
Yeah.
Ultimately, I don't think it should have been me. I don't think I actually was as good as the person they hired.
Oh, well, there's that.
There is that. But there was definitely, but you definitely felt that, like, I'm a little undervalued here, maybe. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
like I could have done it, you know? It would have worked. I could have done it. Maybe this person was still better, but like, did you make the right call? Did you? I don't know. You know,
yeah,
that was like a, and but you know, whatever. At the same rate, I was like, still working on YouTube a lot in the background.
Right. And at that point in time, I think you're probably getting some wheels were starting to turn a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Catching some traction there.
And yep. mine was always kind of interesting in the early days too, because I was doing like a lot of the aquarium type stuff, and I'll try to keep it short here. But I think more than anything else, there was like a lot of very like dirty work that I was doing. So like there's a like my primary day-to-day job was going to the big museum where we have like our big aquariums and tending to them. So that was like where I was putting in like a lot of my energy. It was like our biggest contract, and you know, it was like this is of like massive importance. And honestly, for someone who like had grown up in the mountains and, you know, not really like in a major aquarium hub, to have found myself in a position where I was getting to work on a tank that you could scuba dive in was like pretty unexpected.
Right.
You know, it was like, I mean, I really had the best case scenario for what I had been interested in through all my college years and,
right.
and what I pretty much had lines in the water to be doing. But like, if you're unaware, the way that you filter saltwater aquarium water is by using this device called a protein skimmer, which basically takes the water, it injects a whole bunch of like fast moving water flow and air into it, which creates a foam, kind of similar to what you might see like on the strips of the beach, you know, it's like waves are crashing. Well, that foam is basically like fish poop.
Right.
And what you do with this protein skimmer is you're creating a way to remove the fish poop from the water by creating that foam. So like the first thing I did every single morning was go and take these huge, I mean, they're, I'm trying to think of like how round they are. I mean, probably like a 24 inch round, but like 12-inch tall container.
Right.
That was just full of rancid fish poop.
Oh, great.
And,
yeah.
You know, then, and most of the time it's like caked on the inside.
Right.
You gotta go like scoop all that stuff off. I mean, it was gross.
Yeah.
But you also get so used to it that like, it didn't feel like a big deal to me. I just did it. Yeah. I didn't even dread doing it. Most of the time it was like, if it performed really well, I was like, heck yeah. More stuff.
Yeah.
Got some foul smelling fluid over there.
Excellent.
I did my job well. So I think there was like a little bit of that. Like, you have these like ideas in your head about like getting your degree from college or whatever, and the bright future that kind of like lies before you. And I've told the story a little bit, like with college or with high school, where I was like 1 week from high school graduation, and I got like my tickets that led to me having to do like a weekend in jail.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like this, my big send off, you know, like about to enter the best time of your life. You
right.
know, your future's before you. And it was like clang, clang. You know?
Yeah. You're like, oh, wait.
Yeah. Like, that's not so good. And so here I was out of college, and I think same thing, you know, like I've had all these like grand aspirations for like what I wanted to happen next. And on some level I was there cleaning up after fish.
Right.
It was like, well, darn.
Right.
But I was really proud of what I was doing. So I think there was that. Like, I think the bigger divide for me at the time was almost like I was really interested in aquariums, and I didn't have as much fascination with like making content.
Right.
You know, so I think that was like something I was still going to need to like learn and develop and hone in on.
Right.
So anyway, but good question.
There you go. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Mint Mobile. So I don't know about you guys, but I like keeping my money where I can see it. Unfortunately, traditional big wireless carriers also seem to like keeping my money where they can see it too. And I didn't love that about them, so I switched us to Mint Mobile. And boy, have we been able to put this one to the test. Because as you may know, we spent a fair bit of last year touring the country and gearing up to do more of the same here in 2025. And as you're probably aware, posting and having access to data whilst we're seemingly, you know, everywhere around the country is vital, and we haven't missed a single beat. So Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. So if you're like me and you like your money, Mint Mobile is for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/poppop. That's mintmobile.com/poppop. Upfront payments of $45 for a 3-month 5-gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. I probably don't need to clarify, but I'm what you might call an ideas guy. Once I wanted to start a business creating something called a Wake Winch. It's basically a lawnmower engine attached to a welded metal frame that could allow you to water ski without a boat. Brilliant, right? Yeah, other people didn't think so either. The point is, ideas have never been my personal shortcoming. Execution, on the other hand, is a bit trickier, which is why I'm unfailingly grateful for Shopify. Shopify makes it so easy to take your actually good idea from your brain and put it in front of potential customers the world over. And fortunately for me, I have people like Jay in my life who help me filter out my more, let's call them, niche ideas for ones that might actually work, like our coffee company. We rely on Shopify to run our businesses each and every day, and honestly, I have zero complaints. So upgrade your business and get the same checkout that we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/poppop.
Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh.
Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
All right, I got a good one here. This is going to come from a Hufflepuff. It says, if you woke up in each other's bodies, a la Freaky Friday, do you think you could make it through the whole day without anybody noticing?
How are you doing? You feeling okay?
How you doing? What are you thinking about?
What are you thinking about?
Hold on.
Let me look really worried.
Yeah, ready?
Yeah, I make a lot of noises. Yeah, there's no doubt. Is that a face I make?
I mean, Jay, not. Sorry, I'll be over here not initiating conversation until somebody speaks to me.
Oh, me?
I don't actually think you're like that.
Okay.
I was trying to dish back on you.
Gotcha.
What else would be the what I do if I was Jay?
Yeah, how would you just pretend to be me to get away with it all day?
It's so hard to say. All right, let me ask you this. Do you think we are similar? Are we closer to being similar or closer to being opposites?
I think we're probably closer to being similar.
Closer to being similar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're definitely like, I think we're very similar because like opposites feel like they would take us into like completely different like zip codes of people.
Right.
You know, so it's like what's the term for like the opposite side of the earth?
Like the poles or like. Antipolar or something.
Yeah, there's
a word for it. Yeah, we made a video about this about Moana and Elsa.
Antipodes.
Ha! Yes, that was it.
I can't believe that came to my brain.
Yeah.
But I think like the antipode of like the Pacific Islands that like Moana conceivably could be on, like the opposite is possibly like Norway.
Mm-hmm.
That was our argument as to like
our argument, yeah,
like the exact opposite ends of the
like
earth.
Tafiti and Elsa are like, yeah, like represent similar beings on opposite sides of the earth or something.
Right. Yeah. Yes. So like, I think on some level you can't really think of us as like total opposites in that way, but I wouldn't think that like if we are currently sitting in Roanoke, Virginia, that like if I'm here that you're like somewhere in like the Red Sea, you know. But like maybe we're like opposite sides of the same state.
I mean, like Virginia, like.
I mean, not that I represent like the.
The beach.
Wait a second. Are you taking the mountains? You represent the beach. I'll be in the mountains.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
No, but do you understand my analogy? Like I think that we're similar in that we're like in like the similar vein, but like maybe on opposite sides of a similar vein.
It's like, yeah, it's like, I think it's like a situation where it's like people are similar because you're so similar. You notice the differences like because so many things are similar, the things that are different feel very different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Kind of like the mountains of Virginia versus the beach of Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're probably more like in the mountains of Virginia and like the hills of Virginia.
Are you calling me a hill?
Yeah, I'm calling you a hill. I'm taller.
Wow.
Yeah.
Went there.
Yeah, you know it.
Went there.
Actually, on this exact note, I'm presently reading a book called We Are Legion, parentheses, We Are Bob.
Yeah.
It's part of the Bobiverse, right, as it were.
Yeah.
And I don't want to like spoil anything or anything, but eventually Bob is making like clones of himself.
Okay.
And so then he's having to deal with the like interacting with the clones of himself. And it's like, you know, you'd think people who are clones of the same person would pretty much have the same personality, but of course they're all very different from each other, even though they're like, otherwise they should be the exact same.
Oh, that's very interesting.
But they're not.
That is really fascinating because it reminds me of this like this almost like thought experiment that I've had once upon a time for like a novel, which would be that like the planet Earth is basically like the Colosseum for immortals, and the idea is that like immortals live forever, so the way in which they gain rank amongst each other is by way of who is performing the best in the Colosseum. And what performing the best is by elevating like your character build to the highest amount of like something
right.
on Earth, the highest amount of like happiness on Earth even.
Right.
And it's like, it's very interesting because then like, if you were to imagine somebody being like, I'm going all ambition so that like my person goes in and just like goes full pedal to the metal and like,
right.
whatever. But that could also like attract a lot of competition from like others. So maybe that puts like too much of like a bullseye on you.
Right.
So you really have to do like a very carefully built, you know, set of circumstances.
Right.
But what I think would be like really interesting as well, per your what you just said, would almost be like if you were to take like my exact person and instead of growing up in Roanoke, Virginia, but drop me into like California
right.
or Texas
mm-hmm.
or New York City or something like
yeah.
what, how radically different or how radically similar would the outcomes end up being?
Oh yeah. No idea.
Yeah. Like right. it'd be so interesting if you like take the same personality, but then put them in a bunch of different spots. Cause that feels like the news stories that you see where, like twins are separated at birth and then they reunite 30 years later and they both are really into hockey.
Right.
Or,
yeah.
Or something.
And they buy the same brand of toothpaste then.
Yeah. 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 And it's like, what? No, yeah. that's so, how about that?
Right. Yeah. All, like weird things like that. So it's like, yeah, it is interesting. Like how different you might be if you were just like the same version of yourself, but somewhere else.
Yes.
Or whatever. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Maybe you should read this book. Cause it's like, that's sort of it. Like it's interesting. Cause like each new Bob is like, they're all, they start with the same like spot as original Bob. So it's like original Bob, like was a big like sci-fi fan and loved Star Wars and Star Trek and, you know, was really into science and was antisocial. And so like all of the Bobs will start as like the, like we all have the same interests, but like as they experience new things is like certain things that would be interesting to original Bob are like extra interesting to this one who has been now like, now they've dedicated their life to that or something.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay. Now that is really interesting.
Yeah.
That's a fun like thread to pull on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, I haven't gotten too far into the, to it yet, but that is like where it's heading.
Okay. You know? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I can't think though, to go back to the original question about whether or not I could Freaky Friday a whole day without people noticing.
Well, it'd be weird because we work together too.
It would be very weird because we work together. So we would both be aware that we were like, and I'm assuming that the goal is to be successful. Like we want to successfully make it through the day
right.
without people noticing.
Without people realizing.
So we both know that each other is each other.
So we won't pull the rug out from ourselves.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think I talk a lot more, which would make me think that it might be easier for me to emulate you for a day because I think I could be quieter.
Like if I was just, yeah, if you just like were just quiet, like if I was just like very quiet sitting at my desk all day, that wouldn't be that unusual.
I don't think anybody would be like that thrown off by it. Mm-hmm. So I think I could like preclude myself. Whereas I think if you were me and you weren't talking as much as I am always babbling,
mm-hmm.
that might be like, hey, is everything okay?
Well, I don't know if like at work, I feel like you talk a whole lot more than me.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
We'll have to put it out to vote.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to hear what Isabel thinks after she listens to this.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. Wait, that's maybe, maybe what we should do is without knowing the context, we should have Isabel go through and give a quick interview to, Ethan and Kat.
Yeah.
To be like, who talks more, Ben or Jay?
Right.
And then we'll put it right after this.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, there we go. Enjoy that segment of the podcast, assuming Isabel does it.
Okay, guys. This is very serious matters. I need both of your attention. I'm trying to get you both in the frame. Rolling back. Keep going. Who talks more, Ben or Jay?
Oof. Like on the pop or in general?
Just in general.
Ben?
Ethan?
Okay, here's a question that I kind of want to answer.
Oh boy, okay.
Oh boy. What do you think it's about?
Oh, I don't know. It sounds like a deep question.
It's not.
Okay.
I don't think so. It's a content question. So there's that. Yeah. So Will Legg asks, will we ever see an entire section of y'all's content go outdoors? Ben has the plot of land. Jay has his garden and trees. You guys are constantly hiking, boating, or doing outside, or going or something outdoors. Will those things stay as hobbies, or will you ever try to make content in the woods?
Oh man. I mean, like, I feel like for like when I was doing the vlog, that was a much more like, you know, spend time with me outside of the office kind of thing. It wasn't necessarily like this is a channel about me being outside.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, and that's the reason I thought this was an interesting question to snag, because a bunch of people have asked whether or not like the vlogs might ever come back at any point in time for either of us. And I think that the really big thing about doing something like that is like it needs to just feel like a natural extension of what you're doing anyway.
Yeah.
Because I do think the challenge you run into is like when you feel like you need to be vlogging, and then it starts to become like burdensome a little bit.
That is absolutely the challenge. Like, because we were at like Disney World last week, and like I kept thinking like, oh man, like, you know, I wish I was like vlogging this trip or something so that I could like have the memories from it or whatever. But obviously I didn't.
Right.
And I feel like sometimes I feel like the problem I've had since I stopped vlogging is that like when I was doing it all the time, like it would, you know, take you out of the present so much that like nowadays I like, I just won't reach for my camera at all. So I feel like I take less pictures than I would have just naturally taken prior to have done it. Cause I'm like, no, don't reach for your camera. But I'm like, no, you still need to take some pictures.
The pendulum kind of swaying the other way too far.
Yeah.
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 I know. I definitely know what you mean. And it's, I think, cause I do the same thing, like where a lot of times I will look at like Alice's, like she'll be like showing me like pictures on her phone.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so interesting, cause I'm like seeing our life through her lens versus through mine.
Uh-huh.
And so like a lot of times because she's taking pictures herself, they will end up being like pictures of me and Addie. And I always like really, really, really love that because I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know you took these.
Right.
You know, or like you go back like a couple years now and it's like, oh, like, yeah, that, like,
yes,
that's so cool. And it's really cool. Cause like, you know, people talk about your kids growing up so fast, and it's like there's nothing more true than that statement. Like it's crazy to experience it firsthand, and just how quickly like they go through phases and clothes and interests and all that type of stuff. So those are the types of things you don't want to miss out on. But as far as like going outdoors is concerned, like sometimes I do think that like a content angle might be like a really fun way for me, because I think I like to share like information. Like sometimes I think that like there's a part of me that almost would have enjoyed being like a teacher.
Uh-huh.
Because I think it's like fun to like see people get excited about things that they didn't know before.
Right.
And so sometimes I think like even like when we do like live shows, or you know, if we're doing Through the Gryffindor and you make a statement, you kind of hear like a collective gasp or whatever in the audience, and you're like, oh cool, like I did it.
Oh.
Like I showed them something they hadn't seen before. Like that's like a very, they're very small, but they're very rewarding.
Yeah.
And so like I've been watching, and I've been talking about it a little bit here on the pop, but I've been watching a lot of the Outdoor Boys YouTube channel, which is like, it's a very, like it's very well made, and the host of it is just packed with information. And I feel like a lot of times, like there's been like a kind of like spirit about him as like a person that like I've almost been able to like take and like apply into like my daily life sometimes. I'm like, you know what? I am going to go do that thing.
Because, right.
You know, what would Luke do from the Outdoor Boys? And that's been kind of fun. So on the note of like my land, the thing we keep running into over and over again is that like building costs are just astronomically high and interest rates are astronomically high. And so like the prospect of going and leaving this like safe haven where we feel so financially like secure and safe for something that could be very expensive and, you know, put pressure on us. It's like, that's less appealing, especially when a lot of that pressure is just coming from interest costs.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, me and Allie have been joking a little bit. One of the things that they do on the Outdoor Boys YouTube channel is they've built like this like homestead in Alaska that they can go and like camp at and ride, you know, ATVs and stuff, or, you know, snowmobiles. And I'm like, I could easily see just a world where I go out there and make something that's like somewhere of like an in-between between having like a cabin and glamping meets like a place to do like projects or like store like the boat, you know? Yeah. So it's like, there's, and then like when I'm out there, I'm like, you know, I love splitting wood, you know, it's like, it'd be fun to do like that type of thing.
Right.
Or like, you know, let people see the whole process of like building out this like little homestead type thing. Like,
yeah,
follow along for that journey.
Mm-hmm.
And something like that seems like it would just be like a lot of fun.
Right. Yeah. You know? I understand that. I did check out the channel some, and it's like fun watching like build the stuff. It doesn't make me want to like go film myself doing stuff, because like I feel like I've only watched like two or three episodes, and almost in every single one, I notice him like having to pull his snowmobile out of like a drift of snow,
yeah,
or something. Yeah. And I'm like, but he filmed it, which means like it happened, and then he was like, well, hold on, let me go set up the camera. Now I'll work on the problem.
I know,
kind of things like that. And I'm like, it feels like it motivates me to like want to go like work on stuff and like go do like stuff outside, but it doesn't make me want to film it.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that does seem like it would be a bit of a headache.
Yeah,
because to find yourself in a frustrating situation, have the wherewithal to be like, let me go set up the camera.
Right.
Now I have to solve it.
Yeah. And do all that. But like that said, like there are times where I definitely like do miss doing the vlog. Like I want, like I'll think about like, oh, it wouldn't be that bad. I could probably do it. I could probably just start doing it.
It wouldn't be that bad.
But then other times, like this week especially, because we are like slam bonied with like work to do, because we're about to leave for tour and we were out last week, so we couldn't do like extra prep then.
Yes.
Yeah, so and the week before we left, we were working extra hard to get that week done. And I'm like, are we just working too much?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a very busy week. And I'm like, imagine if I was vlogging right now, like what, like would I don't like some people, like sometimes I think like, oh yeah, we should make the Name of the Wind podcast, or we should make like the Bluey podcast, or I should bring back the vlog, or we should do more on the gaming channel. And I'm like, when? And like, I so badly want to do it. And I'm like, but how? Like we do so much already.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we only have so much time, you know? And if you're like under any some impression that like we're like batch recording stuff and we're like 3 weeks ahead of schedule, like we're not, you know.
I know. I mean, it's but like I don't even know. Like, cause even when we have more time, like this is where I always feel like when like deadlines are something like we like live up to.
I know.
Like we do a good job with that. Like I don't know if that's like part of like our DNA, like our dad being like a reporter.
Right. Yeah. Like was he well suited to that because he like responded well to deadlines and stuff and
right.
he just like, turned stuff out. And it's like, you know, it feels like it's like, you know, like boxes breed creativity. And it's like,
yeah,
guess what? We got to produce this much content and we only have this much time. We're not going to be able to use our conventional means. How are we going to do it?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Excuse me.
That's the other big aspect of it is that like we've started the touring, which doesn't seem like it should be as impactful as it is, but it really sends like reverberations out that like I read recently that like it can take 3 days to recover from losing 1 hour of sleep.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, wow, that's pretty intense. And I was like, so like missing 11 days of work, it's like, how long does it take to prepare for and to recover from
right
that?
Yeah.
When normally we're here working hard every day.
Yeah. Every day. I know. But if you're sitting there at home, like maybe like guys, maybe slow down, like take a break or something or whatever. Like I understand you and thank you for your concern. I did hear like a really great like Taylor Swift quote last night.
Okay.
I
like Taylor.
Yeah, you know, you've heard of her.
Jay, no one hasn't.
No one hasn't.
Yeah.
Everyone knows. No, but I heard it and I was like, man, that is a really good, that like, it felt like it really like captured like the feeling. And the quote was like, I get tired a lot, but I never get tired of it.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
I think that's
like,
exactly.
Yes. Right. I was like, yeah. That's it. Like, I am tired a lot. Like, it is a lot of stress, but I don't get tired of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there is no two ways about it. Like, I think ever since we've started touring, it is like cracked open. Like, I think because I'm being so filled while I'm doing it, it's like filling my tank and it stays full.
Yeah.
Like, so then like I'm more excited to go home and make more stuff because it's almost like I know who I'm making it for.
Who you're for. Yeah.
And when, once you get to see those people, it's like, wow, this is like, I mean, that's not just like a positive sentiment that you can say. Like it's a real thing that I think has like changed my like outlook on work.
Right.
Which has been great.
Yeah. That is good.
So it makes me much more fired up to like come and do things and to like expand into new content horizons. So
right.
I'm excited at the prospect of like making more new fun stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Same.
We just have to have time.
We just gotta, right. This week, I mean, even in like last November, I remember me and you have a conversation as we were like, we should start making extra content now because this week is going to be really hard.
Yeah.
And now it's this week.
And we did.
And nothing. We did do
it. Yeah.
But we're doing it.
But in the meantime, we also made like what, you know, I don't know, like 8-10 weeks time. We probably made like 40 plus pieces of completed polished content.
Make so. A lot of stuff. Make a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So
there's that.
Gotta do it.
We're doing our best.
Doing our best.
Okay. Let's see here. All right, so the last question is going to come from Tegan Denlinger, who says, hey, brother, in reference to the most recent Through the Gryffindor episode, we got to know, what's the universal worst Uber ever story?
Okay, the worst Uber by zero-star Uber ride. You know what? Here's the thing. We couldn't even give that guy a one-star on the Uber because by the end of it, wasn't technically an Uber ride.
It technically was not an Uber ride, so yes. It was... I mean, I'm not gonna lie. Like I felt very worried,
dude. Like, so did I.
I thought something genuinely could have been going wrong. And like I know my anxiety can kind of like whir out of control. I definitely am like that person who like can build headlines in my head. I know that sometimes like if I'm on an airplane, like I'll start to be like, you know, oh no, yeah. You know, like there are things that I do, but. This particular situation felt like I like thought I was in danger.
Yeah.
Which we weren't, obviously, but it was we were on a trip that was ending with a day at Universal and
yeah.
Whatever had led us to
this
all
was
those,
when we went down to do the collab with Rooster Teeth for annual pass.
That's it. Yes, yeah. You're right. Yep. And so the way that it ended up shaking out was we had passes to go to Universal for the day, but we were going to be leaving from Universal to go to the airport.
To
fly home. So we literally had brought all of our luggage with us to the parks.
Yeah.
That had like just been like stashed at like the customer service desk.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole day.
Like Universal has a place. They know this happens to people. So you can just do this.
Right. Yeah. You can go and like, you can like store your stuff or whatever. So we're at the parks or whatever. And we know that at some point in time, we're going to have to leave. But right as that time is approaching, it starts to like torrential downpour
right
at Universal. And so we've got our luggage, but like what that ends up doing is everyone at the parks all decides to leave at once.
At the same time. Like, we were going to have to leave in, like, in the middle of the day, which we didn't think that'll be a problem because, like, if people are leaving the park all the time, but not in, like, massive numbers.
Right.
So, like, if you need to go catch an Uber from the parking lot or, like, the giant parking structure at Universal.
Right.
Like, we didn't think that's going to be a problem or anything, but because it started raining right when we needed to leave, tons of people started leaving as well because it was, like, mid-afternoon and they're like, we've had a whole day here, whatever.
Right. Yeah.
So, we get up there and, like, pretty miraculous, like, you know, there's not a ton of Ubers just sitting up there.
No.
And there's not like, you know, like you can see that you can overhear the people like near you, like checking and saying what their wait times are. And we're like, we got to get to the airport, you know?
Right.
And like pretty miraculously, we just got to the front of the line somehow,
I
you mean, know?
I want to say people were saying that it was going to be like an hour and 20 minutes for like an Uber pickup.
Right.
Like it was a long
time. It was a long wait, but somehow we were just in there first. We got lucky and it was like 5 minutes.
Yeah. And so all of a sudden, you know, it says like your Uber has arrived or whatever, but there's a whole sea of people, a whole sea of cars. All these people are getting in their Ubers and stuff. So it's not really clear like what's going on. So the guy calls me and he's like, hey, you're Ben, right? You need to pick up from Universal. And I'm like, yeah, like, you know, that, like, where are you at?
Yeah.
And so he's like, yeah, come on down to like Pylon, whatever. And so Pylon, whatever is like forever far away. So Jay and I have our suitcases. We're walking out like into the rain. We're walking, I don't know, like 200 yards away from like the covered
crowd. Yeah.
Yeah. So we get all the way out there and the guy's like, all right, listen, like Uber is like paying, like, are they're charging on this like crazy surge pricing right now. Like I'll give you, you know, the ride for like 115 instead of like 120 or something like that. Like, you know, and it was like, oh, it's like a weird situation where I think like I normally would have just been like, no thanks, but like we needed to go, and it felt like
if we didn't take this ride,
we might not get one. We might not be able to get on our plane,
right?
You know, so it felt like there was reason to be like willing to play ball, because otherwise we're gonna have to walk all the way back again in the rain and wait even longer, and who knows what we're gonna do. So bird in the hand was worth two in the bush, I guess.
Yeah, something like that
is what it came down to. So he's like, just cancel your Uber pickup and Venmo me. And
right,
so I'm like, okay. And so, like, you know, I cancel it, and then, you know, I Venmo him the money, and then we like get in the car, and I think like at that point in time it's like starting to dawn on me, I'm like, I never have any issues with Uber. I always feel incredibly comfortable, Lyft, all the,
right,
you know, no issues. I got in the car and I was like, there is no governing body over this car anymore.
Right.
I am now just in a person's car.
Well, and like we got in, he like went over then and like talked to like some other like guy who was trying to pull the same scam, I guess.
Yeah.
At like a different, at his car. And he's like, I think what he was doing was, like, this guy knew more about how to pull the scam or whatever. Like, you got to make sure you turn off these settings and, like, make sure Uber doesn't catch on to what you're doing, kind of thing.
Right.
Like, but, like, so now we're sitting in the car and he's like, he, like, leaves the car to go talk to some other shady looking dude, comes back, and then is like, you know, I ultimately what they're trying to run here is that as an Uber driver, you don't get the full amount of money paid by the patron to the driver.
Yeah.
Like it goes to Uber and then Uber pays you like a portion of that. And I guess it's, I don't know, not a great divide or, you know,
right, whatever the cut is,
whatever the cut is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so then we're in the car and like, he doesn't have the, like the GPS pulled up. I guess he just, you know, knows his way to the airport or whatever. But so, you know, I like on my phone, I'm like pulling up, you know, like directions to the airport, because I want to know, yeah, like where, like, we're going.
Yeah, like, are we going to the correct direction?
And sure enough, he starts taking turns and he's like, I'm going to go this way instead. And, you know, it's like the phone says to go the other way.
Right.
And you're just like, what?
Right. Like what do you mean you're going to go the other way?
And he's like, yeah, he's like answering like a ton of phone calls. And I mean, he is speaking like a different language. So it's not that that's the issue. We didn't know what he was saying.
Right.
So there was that. So this whole time though, I'm kind of like, are we being like taken right now?
Right. Yeah. You know? Like where are we going? Because you're taking weird turns from what the GPS says you should do. And then we get on the highway and he was like just like speeding like very fast.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just like, this was not great. This was not a good call.
No.
Overall. So,
And that's about the peak of the story right there. I mean, it's just that, like, you know, we eventually did. I mean, he did, in fact, take us to the airport. So, I mean, he was just doing a different scam against Uber versus a scam against us. But, you know, kind of being in like this weird situation, we felt very strong armed. We felt very like, you know, there wasn't like the Uber app that was tracking us. Like,
right.
I think we both sent like our locations, like our wives, like while we're sitting there. Like, it was just like, this is weird.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very, very uncomfortable ride. Like, it wasn't, it was uncomfortable in terms of like, I don't know what's going on, but then also uncomfortable in terms of like the driving itself was just not great.
It was very erratic.
Yeah. Very erratic. And then, you know, you feel like, you know, they're clearly like doing some kind of scam and you're like, am I like complicit in helping them like rob Uber or something?
Oh, sure.
Like, you know, yeah. I don't want to be doing anything stupid here. But then, you know, you're already standing out in the rain 200 yards away from everyone and you're clearly not getting another ride for another hour and you have to be at the airport. And it was a very bad situation to bottom. It would have just been great if that guy just played by the rules and that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all for, I mean, you know, what felt like a very small amount of gain on his part.
And yeah, like what, how much did you really profit from this? You know, I don't know.
And our savings was, well, not at all worth the additional
stress.
Not
at all.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. So that's the thing. It's like you're feeling really uncomfortable, and it's like you feel like you're part of like an illegal situation, and it's like technically you are. It's just that you're not actually the one being scammed. Like right. The guy's trying to like use the Uber app to find people to give rides to, but then not share the profit with Uber.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we made it.
So anyway.
Zero stars for that guy.
Zero stars for that guy. Yeah. Don't do that.
But now we know.
Now
if I'm ever in a situation again, you know, it's like, and we find ourselves down there, and it's sort of like, I'm just gonna, you know, I'll go back.
I'll go back.
I'll miss my flight if I have to.
You know what? We'll go back in the park.
Yeah.
You know, we'll just fly out tomorrow. Maybe. Hey,
speaking of Universal, though, we are going to be there.
We are going to be there.
In a week from Saturday.
A week from Saturday. Is that right?
I'm going to tell people exactly when we're going to be there.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So if you guys want, we will be at Universal, the whole team, the whole SB team, on February 15th. And on a Saturday.
On a Saturday.
And we're just going to be floating around.
If you see us.
Come say hi. Take a photo.
Yeah.
Do that type of stuff. Also, we'll be on tour where we're going to be doing our show in Orlando, Sanford 2 nights before, and then in Tampa the night before.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be everywhere.
We're going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Links to all of those things, obviously, in the show notes and all that down below. But otherwise, y'all, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. If you have any feedback for us or your own wild Uber stories, be sure to send them on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you'd like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, until next time.
Pop, pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI. And a watch and tab on any plan, only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan, service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.